Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. So we're going to continue on in our Never the Same series. And since it is Black History Month, I've been asked to do a message, and I do want to talk about how people of color have always had a special place in God's heart, a special role in God's kingdom. And I've been teaching a course entitled Christian While Black. So we have our Path Academy going on, and we've been talking about dating that eventually leads to engagement and marriage. We've been talking about being fearless. We're talking about getting to know the Holy Spirit. And my class is entitled Christian While Black. Now, some people ask me, so what do you mean by that? What are you trying to communicate by that title, Christian While Black? I'm simply trying to communicate this. Just so you can know me personally, number one, I have been a Christian for over 35 years. I love the God, I love the Bible, and I love telling people about the Word of God. I love sharing my faith. I love interacting, especially with young adults. And I'm noticing more and more young adults are not interested in Christianity. And a lot of it's because of misinformation. A lot of it is because of a poor example, and a lot of it is because of historical inaccuracies. So I designed this course to address some of the historical inaccuracies. And what's the end game? People say, well, what is the ultimate goal? More and more people will have a relationship with God. That's what the course is about. So if you're in the course with me, I jumped ahead. Now you know what it's about. If you haven't taken it yet, I'm giving you the end game. It's about more and more people having a relationship with God. In Galatians chapter 3, it says here, what more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God will make the Gentiles right in his sight. Because of their faith, God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. And that's in the NLT version, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, God had made a promise to Abraham that, you know, all nations, all people will be blessed through you because Abraham took a chance. Abraham was probably a Hindu. He was living in the Middle East. He was serving different idols. He heard this voice saying, come out from amongst them and follow me. He went and told his wife, Sarai, and they started on this journey to get to know the one Yahweh, Jehovah God. And I love the way Rabbi Marty Solomon puts it. He says God was just looking for a family, looking for a people who would partner with him to put the world back together. And that's who Abraham and Sarai were. So in Genesis chapter 16 here, there's something very interesting in the curse. And my first point is simply this. God made a promise. God made a promise. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for this wrong I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. There is so much going on here, and we don't have time to unpack it all. But one of the things I want us to understand is that it's so easy for us to look at Sarah, to look at Abraham, and say, how could they be so sinful? They weren't patient. God had made them a promise that Abraham would produce a child that would be the father of many, many nations. And yet it had been a whole decade Sarai, she was doubtful that God would fulfill this promise because she was an older woman. And all she was trying to do was help God out. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in our life, when we get impatient, and I've been guilty of it, getting impatient and figuring out how I can help speed along the process of God. And I liken it to that little kid who wants to help their parent wash your car. You know, the dad is out there. He's trying to wash your car. And here comes his 4-year-old who said, I'm going to help. And, you know, he's dumping the soap everywhere. The water hose is flying everywhere. The kid means well, but he's not much of a help. And I think sometimes in our relationship with God, which we mean well, Sarah meant well. Sarah wanted to help God fulfill the promise that Abraham would be the father of many nations. So what did she do? She came up with a plan. She gave her maid to Abraham as a surrogate. Now, number one, when you go back and you look at the passage and you analyze the passage, God did not tell Sarah to do that. God did not tell Abraham to sleep with his maid. This was all humans doing this. And sometimes when we step out of the will of God, people suffer. Of course, Hagar, she was Egyptian. She was an African woman. There we go. There are people of color in the Bible. And Sarah says, you know what? I'm somebody. Because now I'm taking the place of the woman of the house. And they had a little spat there. Sarah said, you got to go. Hagar's out in the desert. And God comes through and rescues Hagar. Like I said, there's a lot going on. We don't have time to unpack it all. But there's some key lessons I think we can all understand. In our humanity, we mean well. But sometimes in our humanity, we get in the way. But what I want to encourage us with is, for those of us who seek in God, please do not allow our mistakes to hinder your relationship with God. There are people right now who are watching me preach this sermon and say, I don't know about God because then I got to deal with church people. You're right. And Quay did an incredible job a couple of weeks ago talking about it's impossible. You cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship with his body. I want us to understand that sometimes in our zeal, we try to help, but we mess things up. But you know what? God has a way of working through even our failures. And God blessed Hagar with Ishmael. And Ishmael was one of the descendants of Abraham. And he had a whole race of people. And eventually God blessed Sarai, who became Sarah. And she had a child. And God's promise was fulfilled. So you know what? I want us to go back to that very first point I made. God made a promise. And the beauty of God, God made a promise and he came through on what that promise he made to Abraham and Sarah. Now we can go a few hundred years in the future. And now God's people are enslaved in Egypt. God's people are enslaved. And these were the people that God had promised Abraham that would be abundant, that would be too numerous to count, that they would have their own land and they would flourish. God was always about human flourishing. God wanted his people to be fruitful, to multiply, to do well. But at the same time, God has a standard. And when we fall short of the standard, sometimes we suffer consequences because God is not just mean. He wants to punish us, but he's trying to get us back on track. So God's people are down in Egypt. They have been suffering for over 400 years. They had been suffering. And what did God do? God sent a man to rescue them. This man's name was Moses. So in the book of Exodus, we see Moses here. And Moses goes there. He's out in the desert because he had to leave Egypt. And he's working as a shepherd. And then it says that Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Moses had just had an encounter with the burning bush. He goes, to the burning bush. He hears the voice of God. God calls him out of exile and say, I have a job for you to do. He goes back. He talks to his father-in-law, Jethro. And Jethro is like, okay, go ahead. Do what you need to do. So in verse 19, now the Lord has said to Moses and Midian, go back to Egypt for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord said. Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. It is a lot going on here. God is dealing with Egypt because of their disobedience. Everybody gets dealt with. Everybody. God deals with us all. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, so-and-so got away with this and this person got away with that. We don't have to worry about that. God is in control and God will make sure justice is served. Now, there's an obscure scripture, and it will take us by surprise if we don't understand that reading the Bible and studying the Bible takes time. And we got to dig and we got to look for patterns and we got to look for things. In verse 24, the lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. Wait a minute. God called Moses and said, I need you to go and free these people. And you are my guide. However, now at a lodging place, as Moses is obeying God, God is about to kill him. But don't get stuck there. Look at the rest of the story. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off the son's foreskin, touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone. At that time, she said, bridegroom of blood, referring to circumcision. What was going on here? Okay. This story seems out of character for God, but really, when you understand the nature of God and understand that God always has a plan and that God is always working, even when we don't agree or even when we don't see it, God knows what he's doing. First of all, the prophets were not deities. The prophets were men and women just like you and me who had been given an assignment by God. And I think sometimes when we read about the prophets, we're shocked that they have struggles. Abraham had his struggles. Sarah had her struggles. Moses had his struggles, but God still loved them because what they did, even through their struggles, they never stopped obeying God. A little side note here. We can struggle. We can wallow, but you know what's important? Don't stop. Allow God to still work and use you according to his will. There was only one perfect prophet, the Son of God. Jesus was the only one perfect. God had a standard, and Moses did not keep the standard. Moses had been raised in Egypt. Moses had been out of Egypt for probably 40 years, and Moses had a family. Moses had children. And for some reason, Moses did not practice circumcision, although he was a Hebrew. But in the darkest situation, when Moses almost lost his life, Zipporah came along. Zipporah circumcised her son, touched Moses' foot, and spared him from the wrath of God. In essence, Zipporah is responsible for saving the Exodus. I would even go to say that God used this spiritual woman to help Moses get back on track. And let me just say this. I think it's very important for those of us who are interested in having a relationship. Make sure the person is spiritual. Make sure the person is in tune with God, because at some point in your life, you're going to need a spiritual spouse, a spiritual relationship, a spiritual friendship to help you get back on track. Jethro, Zipporah's father, was an offshoot of Abraham. He was a distant relative of Abraham. And somewhere Jethro had heard about Yahweh, Jehovah God, the one God. And Jethro had raised his family to respect the one God. Because earlier in the story, when Moses leaves Egypt and he's there in the wilderness, and he runs into these shepherd girl. There were these sisters, they were shepherds, and the men were harassing them, giving a hard time about watering the sheep. Moses saved them. Zipporah and her sisters went back to their father and said, "Oh, this Egyptian saved us." And Jethro said, "Where is he?" One of the hallmarks of the believers of God where they practice hospitality. God said, "Go and get him. If he saved your life, if he saved you, go and get him." And he practiced hospitality. And I believe it is through Jethro that Moses got back on track spiritually, because Jethro was a believer. And it was through Zipporah that the mission was saved. Why am I saying all that? God fulfilled his promise. God said that he would rescue his people, and God used Moses because he kept his promise. He said, "You know what? I promised Abraham all along. It's not that we were so good as people and so obedient, but it's the goodness of God." God said, "You know what? I made a promise, and now I'm going to use Zipporah to help me continue on in what I had promised Abraham." And we know the story of Moses. Moses was successful, and Moses saved God's people. And then we go on in the history, and we see the good days, we see the bad days, we see the struggles, we see the victories. God's people. So you got to stay in this for the long haul to really understand the will of God. And then we get to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. God fulfills the promise he made all the way back to Abraham. In verse 5, "At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in their own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, all over the known world. People were there on the day of Pentecost when the brothers and sisters powerfully preached the word of God. And on that day, the promise was being fulfilled that God was saving his people again." The day of Pentecost, God was saving his people. And it goes back to the title, All Nations. And let me tell you this, in the spirit of our Never the Same series, the world has never been the same since Jesus came about. Commission those brothers and sisters to go and preach the world to everybody. And eventually those brothers and sisters not only preach to the fellow Jews, they preach to the Gentiles too. We come together on the first day of the week to remember Jesus. We come together to remember the Son of God who came down, lived, died, resurrected so we could have a relationship with God. That God loved us so much that God says, "You know, I want to spend eternity with you." And God is going to fulfill that promise. He started with Abraham. He worked through Moses. He worked through Jesus. And he's working through us today. Because in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, the apostle John is writing. He says, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, praising and worshiping God." It has been foretold that anybody who wants to have a relationship with God is welcome. As I said earlier, I run into so many young adults, especially young African-American men, who feel like Christianity isn't for them. Some will even say, "Well, it's a white man's religion. We aren't in the Bible. We don't have a place." And especially with some of the students I interact with, they want to lean more towards the agnostic belief system, which is no belief at all. And I want to share this as I conclude. Don't allow lies, bad interpretations of the scriptures, or the failures of men to prevent you from seeking God, our Father. The more I study history, and I even look at the history of Christianity, sometimes God is blamed for what man does. God? People say, God told me to do this and God told me to do that, and I'm on a mission from God. Sometimes it's not from God. There is an enemy called Satan. Satan has always been in the mix when it comes to religion, trying to lead God's people astray. And sometimes God is blamed for what man does. And oddly, people get the credit for what God does. I don't want anyone to miss out on eternity because of human failures and shortcomings. Please, if I have failed you, please forgive me. I'm only human. If your pastor, your priest, your parents, any religious figure has failed you, please forgive them. They're only human. And go back and look at the Jesus of the Bible. I promise you this, he will never fail you. And as we take communion today, let us reflect on the Jesus of the Bible. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you right now. And God, we want to thank you so much for Jesus that we see over and over and over again, human beings fail. Even prophets that were chosen by you, God, sometimes do things that you didn't tell them to do, make bad decisions. But God, it's so amazing that in the midst of human frailties and failures and bad decisions, you have a plan and that you eventually work it out for us to find our way back to you. I pray, dear God, for this bread that represents the body that was broken, Heavenly Father, that our hearts will be filled with gratitude. And God, I pray for the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed, that we will always be grateful that Jesus lived, died, resurrected, God, and now he's waiting on us to spend eternity with you. We love you, Father, and we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. Again, thank you so much for being a part of our worship service today. Thank you so much for supporting Path Academy. And if you aren't familiar with it, go to thepath.church, look us up. But we want to continue in this journey we're on in getting to know our God who is in heaven. And as I said earlier, my ultimate goal is to make it to heaven and to influence as many people as I can along the way. Love you all.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.